Let me give you another example, a second example. The example of spiritual community, that it is a spiritual community in the narrower sense of a small group of spiritually committed people living together under one roof. First of all, though, I want to say something, just a few words more, about right livelihood, or rather about one particular aspect of it. In the last lecture, the one that was a talk, I mentioned that the WBO, the Western Buddhist Order, was not a monastic community. That is to say, not a community of monks. And the Indian word that we usually translate in this country as monk is bhikshu or bhikkhu. A monk is not a very satisfactory translation. It has all the wrong connotations. Bhikshu literally means one who lives on alms. Traditionally, the bhikkhu or bhikshu goes once a day from door to door and collects cooked food. So he has no need to cook himself, and therefore no need to work. His life is very, very much simplified. He's just directly dependent on the lay public, not only for food, but for clothing and shelter. And he's free, therefore, to devote his whole time to spiritual pursuits, whether by way of meditation or study or teaching or writing. And as I related in the last lecture, I have myself had some experience in India of this way of life. And it's possible, this way of life is possible, the way of life of the monk, the bhikshu, the bhikkhu, is possible because the general public, the public at large, believes in the same spiritual values as does the monk, even though they do not practice them to anything like the same extent. And the general public, therefore, is happy to support the monk. They believe that they also benefit by so doing. Needless to say, it's not possible to be a monk, a bhikkhu, in England. In other words, it's not possible to depend directly on the general public for alms. In fact, if one tries to beg food, cooked food, from door to door, one will probably be arrested. The general public does not believe in the same spiritual values as the monk, and probably the police force doesn't either. Not even in the spiritual values of the Christian monk, what to speak of the Buddhist monk. I'm sorry to say that the same state of affairs is beginning to develop in India. Since my day, which was nearly 25 years ago, things have changed. And I'm told that notices have appeared outside some villages in northern India saying that sadhus, i.e. monks, ascetics, holy men, sadhus who beg will be prosecuted. They're nowadays considered to be, in some modern progressive quarters in India, non-productive elements. That is to say, they're non-productive in the economic sense. So what are we to do? What is the Buddhist monk in India, in England, to do? I've said that the bhikshu, the bhikkhu, means one who depends on alms. But there's another interpretation, which is that the bhikkhu, the bhikshu, is one who shares. One who shares, that is to say, in the common wealth. One who is supported out of the surplus that society produces. So suppose that there are various business type FWBOs, and suppose that these produce a surplus, in other words, make a profit. Then it becomes possible not only to provide right livelihood for a team of order members, the team of order members and others running that particular enterprise, it becomes possible also to support those order members who are devoting the whole of their time to meditation, study, etc. And such order members will then be, in effect, monks, at least from the economic point of view. They won't be dependent on the general public, they'll be dependent on the movement on one or more of the FWBOs. In other words, dependent on those who share the same spiritual ideals. And this arrangement, we may say, is already in operation on a small scale. Already there are some order members who are supported by the movement, and who therefore are in a position to give all their time and energy to the work of the movement, as well as to their own spiritual practice. And such order members may be regarded as the heart of the movement. They may not be wearing yellow robes, but in certain important respects, they are living like monks, and it may one day be necessary to regularize their position. Now, the fact that such monks depend not on the general public but on the movement is very significant. It means that in a way the movement has taken the place of society. That is to say, the movement is itself a society within a society, even a world within a world, a small world within the greater world. The significance of this will emerge a little later on.